Welcome to Talking Underwater, one water, one podcast. I'm Bob Crossan, editorial director of the Endeavor Business Media's Water Group. This episode marks the final episode of Talking Underwater in the month of March, Women's History Month, and this will be with yet another important and influential figure, a woman in the water industry. Kathy Romans is the Water and Wastewater Segment Manager for the Protective and Marine Coating Division of PPG for U.S. and Canada. She is considered a trailblazer in the water industry. She was the first woman president of NASCO, where she played a vital role in influencing safety practices and industry standards. She is a chemist at heart who has developed into a respected and notable business professional in the water industry. So let's jump right into it and learn more about Kathy Romans. And now I'm here with Kathy Romans. She is Water and Wastewater Segment Manager for the Protective and Marine Coatings Division of PPG for U.S. and Canada. Quite a long title there, Kathy. We were just joking about that before the call, but appreciate you taking the time to chat here today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to talk to you about women in water, being a woman in the water industry, what your experience has been like and how that's changed maybe over the course of your career or not changed if that's the case as well. First of all, what does it mean to you to be a woman who works in the water industry?
I tell you what, it's a great privilege. And I've been doing this now, I guess, for about, just since 1998 was when I came into the industry. I came out of the environmental industry where I had some experience peripherally on the water side of things, worked for an environmental laboratory. We did a lot of work in Superfund. So we were always doing water quality issues, but not at the municipal level. And I joined an organization, a gentleman who took a look at my background and said, wow, this chemistry stuff might give us a leg up someplace. And I went to work for a company named Avani International in 1998, and we were almost 100% wastewater. It was, I was one of, at my very first conference, I was one of three women that I knew of in this industry in 98. And one of the other ladies that was there with me has retired. The third one, she's still working in the industry as a private consultant. So it's been very exciting over the years to see the number of women who have come into the industry, the young women, and I've had the opportunity over the years to work with some just really fantastic engineers, operators, chemists, a lot of folks that have contributed to, my knowledge and enjoyment in this business. Mm-hmm. But also it was kind of unique that being one of very few women, and I worked a lot with contractors. It was delightful, the level of acceptance that I received, almost as though that some of these older gentlemen, like, acting like, my dad and taking me into the fold and educating me. It was really has been a fantastic experience all the way around.
Yeah. Well, when you think about water, I think about like the core nature of treating water is so human. It's like one of the most grounded industries in that way, where it's so fundamental to life that at the end of the day, it is very much a peer-to-peer connection. Where it is about humans interacting with other humans to better human existence, essentially.
And it is very much so. And, it's water is makes up the majority of our bodies. It is our most precious resource. And to be a part of everything from preparing it on the front end for it to be consumed as drinking water, to restoring it back to a quality better than where it was when we took it out in the first place is very fulfilling to know that you're part of really a complete circle of life, so to speak, where I consider water is fundamental to life and is life. So it's very, very satisfying and exciting.
Yeah. So you described a little bit about your experience with the career, of being very accepted and getting a lot of like people kind of taking you under your wing, a little bit to, and like shepherding you almost like, hey, come and do this thing kind of a thing.
Exactly. It was very much that way.
Yeah. So how did you, so you talked a little bit about how you got into the industry. Would you consider that you found water or that water found you?
Water found me. It really did. You know, and the opportunity to get into it presented itself at a time when realistically environmental was in sort of a state of pause. We did things for years and years and years, and we cleaned up big Superfund sites, and I was part of all of that really exciting part of cleaning up some of the biggest messes in our United States environment. But then there was this like little pause where we lacked direction in environmental, and the opportunity in water presented itself, and I've never looked back. It has just been a fantastic career path moving forward, and something I have just thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah. So over the course of your career, how have there been changes to women in water over the years? It sounds like, it sounds like there's more women now for one. Like what have you perceived has changed over the course of your career?
So the thing that I've seen the most, kind of when I first got started, like I said, there were three women kind of that were at our trade shows. I met a couple of women who were at that time working in positions at municipalities, at larger municipalities. There were not very many women in consulting engineers, civil engineers in consulting engineering firms. That has changed tremendously over, you know, the last 25 years. The number of young women coming into civil engineering, being accepted, using their unique, women have a unique set of skills. We're empathetic, and that empathy really can translate into exciting thought and transformation. It's something that is unique to the way that women approach problems and work. And it's been some of the best advances we've made have been pioneered by women in this industry in the last 25 years.
Oh yeah, certainly. Well, and I guess to that point, like you're seeing more women in the industry than ever before. Obviously, it sounds like it's a great career opportunity for a lot of people. When you think about the water industry, or you try and not necessarily sell it, but sell it to a new professional or a young professional, what do you tell them about how it helped? Why is it such a great industry to build a professional career from? Like, what are you telling them usually?
So I'm usually telling them to take what makes you strong and impart that on to, you know, to younger women. I had a couple of younger women that they were younger when I came into the industry that I kind of worked with and mentored through the sort of navigating it through the process of there's so few of us. And it's been exciting now to see the fact that those women that I mentored are mentoring other women. They're doing things in schools, encouraging girls to not only follow their passion, but ladies, if you're good in math, you're good in science, this is a fantastic career path. It is, it's financially rewarding, but it's also just so rewarding from a work satisfaction perspective, that you know that what you're doing day in and day out is impacting the quality of our day-to-day lives.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, like I said at the beginning, it is that peer-to-peer connection. There's a very human element at the end of these, of your work day that is being directly impacted by the work that you do.
There is. And there's things that that can be done, not just at the engineering level. Some of the, some of the neatest women that I've had the opportunity to meet here over the last several years actually are working on the operations side. They're mm-hmm. in the plants. They are certified operators. They're hands-on people, and it's not just a total, you know, STEM, science and technology moving in that direction or engineering field. There's need for women throughout our industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and right now there is a lot of talk, I feel like, in both, like, kind of across the entire water sector, whether that's drinking water, whether it's wastewater, whether it's stormwater or anything in between, whatever you would call it. There's a big talk about workforce, and workforce is a big problem, it seems like, across every element of the sector, whether that's in the operations of the facilities, managing the facilities, like even the executives in those facilities are getting up there in age and are looking to retire as well. And then obviously you got manufacturers, engineers. It's like there's going to be this period where we need to have a lot of turnover. When you think about that, when you think about the workforce challenges that we're kind of presented with, what do you think the industry could do better to cater to that next generation of water workforce? How could we better bring in folks to make sure that we're creating, to use a water pun, a pipeline for the future?
So that's a really great question, and one that there's an organization that I have long been a participant in. The name of it is NASCO, and it's a sewer contractor organization. We actually have committees for workforce development, and we're looking at ways to bring in those next generations of operators and mm-hmm. contractors that want to work on our infrastructure. We talked earlier, you said, you know, about Texas Water, and you're going to come visit us at Texas Water.
Yeah.
There is a program I cannot right now, I just lost the lady's name, but there is a woman in Texas Water that is implementing a program with some of our high schools for workforce development at the high school level, where graduating seniors will leave high school with an operator's license and immediately can be, you know, brought into the workforce at a facility that's in mm-hmm. desperate need of operators. So these people are leaving, can leave school with a great education and a start on a career the minute they graduate from high school. So
that's incredible.
It is a phenomenal, incredible program. And I'm sorry, I just heard name skips my mind.
Well, we're going to look into it for you. We'll find out what that is, and please, we'll get some news on the website for it.
And if you want more on women in water, you should talk to her, because her ideas are fantastic. But those are the kinds of things that I think we need to encourage. If we can partner at the, you know, high school level, at the junior college level, where we can develop our next generation of workforce, it's going to make our future so much better. Because I'm not that many years away from retirement myself. So I'm, you know, looking at who's going to be the next person for, you know, my company to take up the water, wastewater mantle and carry this desire and passion for clean water for our future mm-hmm. generations forward.
Yeah, that's the word, passion. That's the one.
And tell you what, when you get into this, and you know, you asked me, did water find me? Yes. And once it did, it became just really a passion. And I enjoy it so much. I can talk about it for days.
Yeah, you and me both. Well, I mean, thinking about your career, what are some lessons that you've learned over the course of your career that make for good advice for those aspiring or ambitious or passionate individuals who are joining the water workforce?
Never be afraid to present an idea. Because whether the idea is doable today or not, it's going to give someone else another idea, and it's going to build on itself. And it's those little small ideas that turn into the next big thing. And I think that's probably my biggest, don't hold it in because you think that it's not doable or it's silly. Really present it out there and say, what about this? Can we do such and so? I mean, those are the things that cure cancer and all that kind of the what if questions. And that's my biggest piece of advice to anybody. Don't be afraid to ask those questions, present those ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's a moonshot, the amount of putting a moonshot out there gives you a goal to work toward, right? It allows you to see a future in which you have something that's very big, very maybe too ambitious for what you can currently do, right? But it gives you the opportunity to say, hey, what part of that ambitious goal can we actually achieve today? And it gives you the stepping stones to get there, right? And there's nothing wrong with having that kind of a mindset looking into the future, right?
Exactly. That's what is the foundation for every new idea. Who was the guy that first said, hey, I think we can go to the moon?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, to use the moonshot thing very directly. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I often talk with folks that work for me there isn't necessarily failure when you think about improvement. If you have the right mindset, a failure is going to give you just as much information as a win. Mm-hmm. And if it's just about that mindset shift of like, hey, this didn't work the way we wanted it to, but now we know what does and doesn't work. Now we know what doesn't work. And that can almost be more valuable than knowing what does.
Exactly. And that's sort of been something that throughout my entire career, even in environmental, when we were looking at ways to measure air quality or water quality, it was, well, if we took this and adapted it in a different way, could we achieve the final, the goal or achieve the result we needed? And it's the same thing across the board, but just can't stress that enough.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to end on kind of a lighter question, which is more about your kind of brings your hobbies into the fold on everything. Is there a piece of media, whether that's a book, a movie, a podcast, could be an audiobook, whatever? Is there any piece of media that's made a pretty big impact on you professionally that you think others might also find useful that you'd like to share?
That's a really interesting. I have a lot of hobbies, by the way, from from gardening to bread making. But from a professional standpoint, and my interaction with individuals, with my coworkers, and everything, I have to tell you that it can only be the Bible. And my, my relationship with God is what really is the thing that has impacted me the most throughout my whole life, including these last 12 months. And, it's maybe not the sexiest answer, but it's the best one I have for you.
Yeah. Well, no. And I think that's important that people have different touchstones that have meaningful impacts to them, and knowing and having an understanding of those different touchstones can really inform like, hey, maybe I should consider that as well. Right. Like there's no one right or wrong answer to that question.
There's an awful lot of information in there about how you should treat other people, about how we should treat the earth, treat ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's is very impactful when it comes to being successful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I think there's a lot of good lessons to be had. Like you said, it's about we've mentioned it multiple times. This is a human industry. It's very human at the end of the day. And there's a lot of things in the Bible about how to be the best human you can be. So.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate getting to know you a little bit more, and I hope our listeners have enjoyed our conversation as well.
Well, I hope so too, Bob, and thank you so much for inviting me. It was a great pleasure, and I'm thrilled to death that an organization and a podcast wants to talk about, the women that make an impact in this industry.
Oh, yeah. And they do every day. I see the work of them. I work almost exclusively with women, it feels like, these days. So it's like, yeah, I feel it every day. I know exactly how hard they're working and pushing this industry to the next level. So it's really cool to see.
Great.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for talking with me and for us to be able to take some time to learn more about you and your history and the influence that you've had over the years. It was really fascinating, and I loved speaking with you, and it was an absolute pleasure. On to housekeeping. Be sure to check out our written coverage for Women in Water from March of 2024. The print editions for March, April for every single one of our magazines has a cover story about Women in Water with some question and answers, some feature articles about some really influential and important figures right now in the water industry. And while you're checking those out, be sure to subscribe to our magazines or subscribe to our newsletters, where you can get all of that information delivered to your physical mailbox or your digital inbox. And with that, don't forget to like, subscribe, share on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Spotify. You can reach us at talkingunderwater@endeavorb2b.com to share your thoughts, and also make sure to follow us on X at TUW Podcast. Thanks so much for listening.